friends, and welcome to the Imago Nutrition Podcast, where we answer your questions and give you practical nutrition strategies to help you and your family flourish. My name is Mark Glesny. I will be your host today, flying solo without my business partner and sister-in-law and registered dietitian extraordinaire, Danielle Glesny. So you'll be putting up with just me today for a bit of a unique topic, I think, and not something we have discussed much, if really any, in any previous episodes. And so let me set this up in a unique way. Let me start by saying what I'm not going to do in this episode. Okay, so if you saw the title, the episode title, and you're thinking, well, this guy's going to try to convince me to go alcohol-free. That is not my intent with this episode. I'm not here to try to convince you to go alcohol-free, or this is not even going to be a podcast about necessarily all the benefits or the ins and the outs of going alcohol-free. What I really want to do is encourage those of you who have already decided to or are thinking about going alcohol-free or at least severely reducing your alcohol intake, and I want to equip you with some tips that I have learned since going, for the most part, alcohol-free in my own life. And so I want these to be very practical tips that I can give you, again, to help you, to propel you into or through the process of going alcohol-free. So this is not trying to scare you. This is not trying to convince you. I'll give you some data to support your decision. But again, I'm not trying to bring people from one side of the line to the other on this topic necessarily with this episode. And so with that, let me also start by saying I enjoy alcohol. Okay. And so that may seem a bit peculiar to begin an episode on going alcohol free or tips for going alcohol free with that statement, but it's true. Okay. So, my quick history is that I didn't have a drop of alcohol until I was 23. Okay. So I went all through high school, all through college without having a drop of alcohol. Okay. Now, since then, I'm 42 now at the time of this recording. Since then, I have actually come to enjoy alcohol. I enjoy the way it tastes, if you can believe that, from starting with craft beer and getting into, you know, small batch craft whiskey. I very much enjoy the way that different expressions of alcoholic beverages tastes. I enjoy the social aspect of consuming alcohol. I enjoy the camaraderie, the fraternity. I enjoy going out to cocktail bars with friends and having exquisite concoctions. I live in Nashville, so we have amazing cocktail establishments in and around the city of Nashville. And speaking of, I appreciate the artistic expression of crafting cocktails. I would by no means consider myself a mixologist, but I enjoy personally trying to make very simple, very easy to make, mostly whiskey-based cocktails at home. I even enjoy the way it makes me feel in moderation at times in the moment. And so I am not anti-alcohol. I'm not here to convince you to never drink any amount of alcohol ever again. So that said, I have recently jumped on what I'm calling the little to no booze cruise. Okay. And so that's just a catchy way, if you will, of me saying, I intend to have little to no alcohol on a consistent basis moving forward. And so I'm not currently consuming any amount of alcohol. I haven't for several months. But I also don't have plans to never drink any amount of alcohol ever again. But at the very least, I do plan to severely minimize, and I use those terms on purpose, severely minimize my alcohol consumption moving forward. Okay. But why? But why, Mark? Okay. That was actually the literal response from a friend of mine, a good buddy of mine. We were on a deck party christening a neighbor's new deck. And he realized that I was holding a can of beer that looked a little peculiar. And so he said, what do you got there? And I showed him, and it was a non-alcoholic beer. And I said, yeah, you know, this is a non-alcoholic beer that I brought. I brought a whole six pack. I was drinking on the deck like everyone else, right? Like the guys show up with their little mini coolers and ice, and everyone's bringing six packs. I brought mine, and he happened to notice mine looked a little peculiar. So he said, but why? You know, And so here's what, again, this episode is not. My list of reasons for going alcohol-free for now, or again, severely limiting my intake moving forward. My list is lengthy, to say the least, and it's not really the topic of this episode. However, there are plenty of possible reasons why going alcohol-free, or at least dramatically reducing your intake, can be incredibly wise. And so again, if you are someone who has thought about this, you're looking for just a little bit of equipping on how to do it, or someone that has recently begun going alcohol-free or really, really minimizing your intake, here's a few things that you can look forward to in general terms. It's different for everyone. It may be some of these. It might be one of these. It might be all of these. But in general, when you do reduce or eliminate alcohol intake, you can see that it can assist in the weight loss process. You'd be surprised, of course, how many people drink consistently and don't really realize the caloric impact. You know, for every gram of alcohol, there are 7 calories. It's just mathematically impossible to think you can drink alcohol and not be adding calories to your intake. People experience more well-balanced mood, maybe less peaks and valleys and more rolling hills, a boosted immune system. So sicknesses can sometimes be reduced, sometimes can be longer times in between, you know, sicknesses is by no means means you're never going to get sick again, but you can see a boosted immune system, which can help ward off illness and sickness. You see enhanced liver function. You could see deeper sleep, which really has profound implications for many areas of our health and our life. You can see improved brain health, improved heart health, improved mental health, improved sexual health, improved relationships in general. Increased energy levels, increased hydration or reduced dehydration, reduced headaches, reducing, you know, the risk of cancers, which we'll talk about in a second. Spending less money. Alcohol costs money. It's a premium. It's a product. And there's many, many more. And so again, this is not an episode to list all the reasons why going alcohol-free is super amazing. However, I want to encourage those of you that are looking for, kind of a propulsion through this process to know that those benefits are a part of this. And so be encouraged in that. And perhaps maybe you're like, okay, Mark, but I am curious about kind of the impact of alcohol. And I get that that's maybe not the full thrust of this, episode, but I am looking to kind of get into what alcohol does, you know, physically, psychologically, neurologically. And so for that, I would point you to an episode of the Huberman Lab podcast. That is a podcast hosted by Dr. Andrew Huberman, who's a professor of neurobiology and ophthalmology at the Stanford School of Medicine. And so I learned about Dr. Huberman years back when I did my nutrition science certification program through Stanford. So mine was through the Stanford Center for Health Education, which is a part of a School of Medicine, studied under Dr. Gardner. And he, of course, is colleagues with Dr. Huberman. So I learned about Dr. Huberman a little while back, but it has been amazing to see. He has really exploded onto the scene of neuroscience and podcasting and public speaking and all these different components of health that he's really tying together and giving us a really deep understanding. So he did a podcast episode. You can just Google it. You'll find it on his website. But just Google what alcohol does to your body, brain, and health. Again, that is a Huberman Lab podcast episode entitled What Alcohol Does to Your Body, Brain, and Health. It is an incredible expose from, again, a professor of neurobiology into some of the impacts. Of course, nothing could be extensive. It's a long episode. I think it's 2 or 3 hours long. But even that can't do the full breadth and depth of this topic. However, he does an incredible job. So I highly recommend that. And if you find it on his website where that page or that podcast is episode is hosted on his website, he also has citations and the references that he makes throughout the episode. So you can go tap through and click those studies and papers that he references. I also just wanted to pull a couple as well. Again, this is not to scare anyone. This is just to lay out sort of the reality and to encourage those of you who are in this process of going alcohol-free or really looking for sort of, again, the encouragement you need to continue down this road of really minimizing the intake of alcohol, or if not, you know, completely eliminating. So the first study I would point you to is a new 2023 meta-analysis. The title is Association Between Daily Alcohol Intake and Risk of All-Cause Mortality, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. And in this meta-analysis, which is a study of studies, okay, so if you're not familiar with the research world, don't worry about it. A meta-analysis is just a study of studies. And so this study of studies studied 107 studies, okay, you're tired of me saying studies, and so 107 studies with almost 5 million participants accounted for, and they concluded that there are no, zero, zilch, nada health benefits to low volume alcohol consumption. Now, some of you may say, duh, haven't we always known that? There was a bit of a myth in past research that showed that there was this sort of like protective layer to low or even at the most moderate drinking. However, if you dig into the research, and this is a nuance that you have to kind of dig in to see, is that you can see that many of those studies were flawed in the sense that they suffered from what I believe is called drinker misclassification error. Essentially, what they did is they found a control group of non-drinkers, and then they found another group of drinkers, and they tested long-term health outcomes. However, if you dig into that control group, those non-drinkers, were often prior drinkers that had stopped. Sometimes they were vigorous drinkers that had stopped. And so the reason they were non-drinkers is because they had done a lot of drinking in the past. It's not because they had never drank. So you can imagine certain health outcomes are set on their course with that sort of volume of drinking in the past prior to some of those studies. So what this meta-analysis really undoes is that false notion that there is sort of a protective layer to low or at the most moderate drinking, okay? And so in specifics, what this meta-analysis pulls out is that participants who drank just around 25 grams of alcohol, and you can just Google like whatever your drink of choice is, just take a look at how much of that would equate to about 25 grams of alcohol. And people that consume just 25 grams of alcohol per day had an increased risk of all-cause mortality, all-cause death. And by the way, that risk increased significantly, statistically significantly, when participants consumed just 45 grams of alcohol per day. And interesting fact, what they showed is that these effects were more detrimental, worse for women than they were for men. Okay, so men, women, designed differently, built a little differently, and it does seem that men's physiology can absorb the negative impact of something like alcohol a little better. But gentlemen, that does not mean that we are absorbing it and living to our fullest capacity because we are big and strong and male. By no means does it mean that. It means, ladies, these negative impacts are even greater with you and your physiology and who you have been designed to be as it relates to alcohol intake. Okay. And so second study real quick, titled Associations Between Alcohol Consumption and Gray and White Matter Volumes in the UK Biobank. All right. And what this study found was that one unit of alcohol, depending on what kind of alcohol, is associated with worsening macro and microstructures in the brain. You'll get a lot more of that if you do listen to that podcast from Dr. Huberman, of course, as a neurobiology professor. He will give you deep insights into the impacts for brain as well as the rest of your body. A third citation I would point you to is a study called Alcohol Consumption and Cardiovascular Disease, a Mendelian Randomization Study. And so if you know anything about me, you know that one of the reasons I love nutrition, I love working with folks on their health goal, is to stave off cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular disease, heart disease, is the number one cause of premature death in America. It's the number one cause of premature death in the world. And this Mendelian randomization study found that alcohol plays a causal, not correlated, a causal role in stroke and peripheral artery disease. Okay, so incredibly powerful study there. And fourth but not least would be a study titled Alcohol Consumption and the Risk of Cancer, a Meta-Analysis. And this harkens back to that meta-analysis I referenced and this number that keeps coming up in research, which is just 25 grams of alcohol per day increases the risk of several cancers, such as liver, which of course, esophageal, as well as stomach cancer. So suffice it to say, this was not to scare anyone. This is not to try to convince anyone even. This is to encourage those of you that have decided you want to pursue this in accordance with your goals and long-term health outcomes. And so I just want to say this before we get into our tips, because what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at no less than 14 tips to help you in this process. But at the end of that research and that setup, it's a 15-minute setup, I realize. Suffice it to say, hear me on this. If you are considering going alcohol-free, or at least severely limiting your alcohol intake moving forward, I want you to know that from a statistical, from an analytical, from a research perspective, from a health perspective in general, you are entirely justified in doing so. Okay. So with that, again, 16 minutes into the episode, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about 14 tips for going alcohol free, and there'll be some tips within the tips. But I think I've got about 14 big ideas here that I'd like to work us through. And so with that, if you've decided to go alcohol-free, you're in the process of going alcohol-free and encouragement, or you're curious about what it would look like and you want to sort of strategize how you're going to do it, I hope these 14 tips encourage you. So number one, know your why, okay? Knowing the why behind the what is crucial for many things in life, not just health, not just nutrition, not just going alcohol free. Knowing the why is really what will anchor you through the process of going alcohol free. Okay. And so one of the first things that I did, as I started to begin thinking about going completely alcohol free for a while, and then again, severely minimizing in the future. And I did this probably a year ago, at least, to be honest. So it wasn't immediate. But what I did is I started thinking about all the reasons why, the big reasons why and the little reasons why I wanted to pursue going alcohol free. I even shared this with some of my nutrition coaching clients, even though I hadn't gone alcohol free, as an exercise in some of their health goals, whether it's weight loss or muscle gain, or knowing the why behind that. Because what I often say is knowing the why behind the what, if the why is bigger and more important than the what it takes to achieve that goal, the why will get you through the what. Okay, so if you know your why and you know the why will get you through the what. And so I made a list in my phone of all the reasons, and I looked back at that from time to time. And that just sort of anchored me mentally as I prepared for this change in my life. And so writing down the reasons why you want to, and that could just be a whole host of things, perhaps that I mentioned earlier in that list of benefits, perhaps some different things in your life, contextual and individual to your circumstance. But knowing all those reasons why is really going to anchor you through the process. So that's my number one tip. Know your why. Okay. Number two, know that the first few days, weeks, maybe months are going to be the hardest. Okay. Breaking habits takes focus, it takes effort, it takes patience, okay? And not just breaking habits, but establishing new habits and routines takes focus and effort and patience, okay? So look, this is different for everyone, but for me, the first 2 weeks were the hardest. And it wasn't because I was going through alcohol withdrawals, or, you know, increased anxiety. Thank goodness I didn't have some of those, you know, deep, very real physiological responses to going alcohol free. It was more the routine, like making a cocktail or two was normative for me most nights after a long day of work. Put the kids to bed, make a cocktail or two, one for me, two for me, one for my wife, another one for my wife, sometimes not. That was so normal. And it took a little while to dismantle that routine or to replace it in transition. Okay. So having a few drinks at night throughout the week, or on the weekend, right? So spending time with friends, going to sporting events, going to music events, going to neighbors' houses. We have a great neighborhood and we hang out, and alcohol is generally a part of that. And so it took time to deconstruct some of those routines. So just be mindful of that. Okay. And so no matter what that really looks like for you, if it's days, if it's weeks, if it's months, look, even for some of you, it may take years to establish these healthy rhythms and these healthy new routines. All I want to do is I want to encourage you that the earlier on, it's generally the hardest. It does generally get easier, and it is entirely worth the effort. Okay, so that's number two. Know that the first few days, weeks, months will likely be the hardest. Okay, number three, Let's get into some fun ones, right? Number three, explore non-alcoholic beer, wine, and spirits. Okay, as I just mentioned, first 2 weeks were the hardest and difficult for me. The thought of kind of ending my day without a whiskey cocktail was honestly a bit daunting. Just because, again, it was so woven into my routine. So I did a quick 2 minute at best Google search on my phone. I think it was like a Friday night. I was like, okay, it's Friday. I got nothing to do tomorrow in the morning. And I'm not drinking tonight. So, what am I going to do? And so I Googled non-alcoholic whiskey liquor store near me or something like that. Right. And ding, 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 multiple liquor stores popped up with multiple options for non-alcoholic whiskey. We'll talk about that in a second. So I got in my car randomly and, you know, my wife would have been like, he's going to the liquor store. I thought he wasn't drinking. Right. And I'm off and I'm exploring and I'm looking for these so-called non-alcoholic whiskey. So I picked up a couple bottles that had good reviews online that looked promising. Came home. I still had my fixins for my whiskey-based cocktails at home. I hadn't run out of those. And so I started making mocktails at home, you know, fake whiskey. Yeah, fake whiskey mocktails for, you know, several nights out of the week for probably the first 2 weeks. Now, was it the same? Like, no. Like, I appreciate whiskey enough to know that those non-alcoholic whiskeys do not taste the same. I didn't need them to taste the exact same. Of course, they're not going to taste the exact same. They're not whiskey. However, was it satisfying, especially in a cocktail environment where it was a little bit more about some of the mixings and not drinking it neat? Because they don't taste the same drinking it neat by any stretch of the imagination. Okay. So it wasn't the same, but it was satisfying that routine, right? Of coming home, making a concoction, sitting down with a big old cocktail cube in a cocktail tumbler and watching Netflix or a documentary. My wife and I are going through this phase where we're watching like religious cult documentaries. And just, it satisfied that routine. Okay. And so, and that really kind of lasted just about 2 weeks. And then, you know, that I just kind of replaced that routine with different, you know, sensations and feelings and all that sort of stuff, which was kind of nice because even the non-alcoholic whiskeys are still like 40, 50 bucks a bottle. So I'm like, well, I'm not saving any money. But it suffice it to say, satisfying that routine is a big part of this. And I've also recently since then, that was at the start, I've also been exploring the non-alcoholic craft beer. And I got to tell you, that's light years ahead of the non-alcoholic whiskey. Some of these non-alcoholic beers, hazy IPAs and golden lagers and ambers, they taste dang near the exact same. I was at an outing last night and I had a buddy try because I had a non-alcoholic beer with me and he tried it and he's like, it tastes the exact same. I'm like, I know. So if you like the flavor, these non-alcoholic versions of these, you know, beer, wine, and spirits are really cool. I haven't tried any non-alcoholic wine. Not really a wine drinker. I'm sure they're out there. But all that's to say, look, this article, I'm recording this in April of 2023, and I think we are just on the cusp. We are currently witnessing and are going to continue to see an explosion of non-alcoholic beverages mimicking beer, wine, spirits. We're seeing, you know, non-alcoholic tequila and gin and rum and whiskey and beer and wine. Look, it's an incredible time. If you're thinking about or you've gone alcohol-free like myself, it's an incredible time because not having, you know, realistically tasty non-alcoholic options, it's just a thing of the past. So number three, that's my third one. Explore non-alcoholic beer, wine, and spirits. Have fun with it. Okay. Number four, identify when and where it will be most difficult to consume alcohol. This one's pretty self-explanatory. It won't take too much time, but just take a few minutes and write down or simply consider meaningfully when and where it's going to be the most difficult to not consume alcohol. Okay. This will be well worth your time. It's a very short exercise. You could do it right now while you're listening to this episode. Okay. This could be things like work trips. This could be sporting events. This could be live music events. I've done all three of these just in the last couple months since going alcohol free. I had my first work trip of the year. I was in Charlotte. It was on Super Bowl Sunday weekend. And after a team dinner, went back to the hotel, was watching the Super Bowl with my boss who got a drink. And normally that's when I would get whiskey. I would sit there and have a whiskey or two and watch the football game. And so I was there. Work trip is a time where normally I would be consuming those. And so I was mindful of that ahead of time. Didn't faze me. Just ordered a different drink, a non-alcoholic beverage, and still had a good time. Sporting events. I'm a huge Nashville Soccer Club fan. My boys and I are season ticket holders. We went to 16 of the 17 home games last year in 2022. And I was mindful of the fact that I had not gone to a single soccer game without consuming at least one alcoholic beverage, whether before or during the match. And so I had to remind myself that I'm going to need a new routine. It's going to take a little time. It's going to feel a little different. And by the way, I love soccer so much. It really doesn't make that big of a difference. I have just as much fun at those games, completely sober and sharp, as I did with, you know, a beer or two. Okay. And so live music events, my wife and I just went to Luke Combs here in Nashville. And this is kind of a cool story. We were driving there and my wife's been seeing that I've been, you know, I've gone alcohol free. And, but for the first time, you know, in the months since going alcohol free, on our way to the concert, she goes, "It's not going to bother you if I get a beer while we're there, right?" And I was like, "Not at all, right?" And so just being mindful. Now, it might bother you and you may need to have a new strategy in place. But just being mindful that, you know, there's going to be environments where you're tempted. There's going to be environments where maybe you miss it, but going in there just with that right frame of mind, it was just really sweet that my wife was like, "Is that going to bug you?" I was like, "No, absolutely not." We went there, we met some friends. They all had a beer or some sort of drink during the concert and I didn't, and that was okay. And so all that's to say, think about those, you know, Friday nights with friends at home alone, right? It doesn't always have to be social. Sometimes it's non-social. That could be one of those times that it's difficult to not consume alcohol. You know, date nights with your spouse or your girlfriend. These are just normal times that as an American culture, we tend to consume alcohol. So it's not that you have to avoid these things, right? Unless you do find that it really is impeding your progress. It's really standing in the way of you pursuing this as a goal. But it doesn't mean you have to avoid those. You just need to be mindful of them and make decisions appropriately in accordance with your goals. Okay. So that's number four. Just identify when and where it's going to be most difficult and have a plan. Think about that ahead of time. If you need to avoid it for a certain period of time, because it's just too soon in the process for me to be going to, you know, a concert because I can't drink, and that's okay. It's okay to take time off from that. Right. The point is that it's you making that step. It's not me saying you can't have alcohol at your favorite event. Okay. When you make the decision, it's very, very different. Okay. Number five, consider, now stick with me on this one. Okay. Consider posting about going alcohol free on social media. If you have social media, this may sound crazy. Okay. Especially if you're on Facebook. Okay. I'm on Facebook. But so hear me out on this. Okay. Sure. If you post about it, haters may emerge. Okay. However, supporters may emerge as well. And there's something valuable in that. Sure, you might be mocked. Again, probably on Facebook. People are just mean on Facebook. If you don't believe that, you're not on Facebook. All right. Sure, you might be mocked, but you also might discover who in your circle is alcohol free. I posted about this. And yeah, I had snickers. I had people, blah, blah, why would you, you know, oh, man, you know, masculinity, blah, blah, blah. It's not real whiskey. My husband's whatever. Okay, great. But I was shocked to learn how many people in my circle are alcohol free, have done this. Okay. I was behind the ball with a lot of these folks, right? So knowing who is like-minded in this area could be very, very valuable. All right. So I actually recommend it if you're comfortable with it, of course, you know, consider posting about going alcohol free. You might get tips and tricks from friends. You might get some snickers and some jeers, blah, blah, blah. It's okay. We'll address that in another tip right here in a second. But think about posting on it for the sake of learning who in your circle is sort of your unspoken community in this area. All right. So number five, consider posting about going alcohol free on social media. Number six, speaking of social media, unfollow or consider unfollowing alcohol companies on social media. Okay. And so early in this process, I found myself, as the alcohol brands that I love, I esteem, I think they're doing some great stuff. I hope they continue to thrive and make an impact in their community for the better. I truly do. Absolutely nothing against some of these brands. It even kind of hurt a little bit because I'm a marketing guy and I love brand and I love what some of these companies have done. But I just found early on in the process, it wasn't helpful for me to have those things in my feed. And by the way, when you do like those pages, Facebook knows and the social media platform knows to serve you up new opportunities to engage with other alcohol brands. And so you can sort of untangle the algorithm a little bit by doing this. Again, I have nothing against alcohol brands. I am not anti-alcohol. I am a Christian. There are There are instances in the Bible where we see Jesus drank occasionally. And yes, he drank alcohol. It wasn't just grape juice, right? And so I do not think this is inherently an immoral activity by any means. I have nothing against these brands for producing alcoholic beverages. At the time, however, it just wasn't helpful for my mindset as I was making that shift. So a quick unfollow was in order for those, you know, companies that I had been following for years and years and years. So consider unfollowing social media companies on, consider unfollowing alcohol companies on social media. That's number six. But number seven is consider following non-alcohol companies on social media. Okay. And so if you're exploring non-alcoholic beverage companies, it might really be helpful to give them support. I know they would appreciate it as they're trying to break into the market and help kind of create this new kind of countercultural revolution, if you will. And so it could make sense for you to follow and explore some of those non-alcohol companies on social media as well, if you enjoy their product, of course. It's not like you have to go give them charity and just like their page because they're doing something. If you love it. I've already found a couple brands that I follow. And as this whole non-alcohol market continues to grow and innovate, it's one of the ways that I'm staying up to date with some of the advancements, you know, with new concoctions that are entering the scene. And so I think it's just a really cool way to engage with some of the companies and show support for what they're doing. And so they're producing a product that can help you with this decision. So a little bit of love on the digital front can go a long way. So that's number seven, consider following non-alcohol companies on social media. Number eight, prefer establishments or consider more often establishments with non-alcoholic options. Okay. So learning which restaurants, heck, even which bars have a really solid set of non-alcoholic options can be super helpful during the process of going alcohol-free, let alone into the future. Okay. So go on a scouting mission, whether it's in person as you're going to places, taking note of the restaurants that have a good solid two or three non-alcoholic beer options, or they make a great non-alcoholic cocktail of some sort, right? Like keep a list in your phone of these places that you can go to and invite friends to or help coordinate, you know, outings to that have options for those that are choosing to drink and options for you and those that are choosing not to. And so again, I'm a cocktail guy. Okay. Love cocktails, live near Nashville. And Nashville has, I'm telling you guys, Nashville has some of the most incredible cocktail bars. In fact, I didn't plan on saying this, so I hope I get the citation right, but Food and Wine just released their 10 best cocktail bars in the US, and one of my top 3 cocktail bars is on that list. It's also they're in the top 5 most creative bars in the US as rated by Food and Wine. I could go on and on about my favorite cocktail bars in Nashville, and the cool thing is what I'm learning is they also have epic non-alcoholic cocktails as well, or mocktails, right? And so have fun with it. Explore your local area. Explore when you're in different cities. I'm telling you, this is only going to grow in the coming years. You are not going to have less options than you do today. You're only going to have more tomorrow in this regard. So have fun with it. The process shouldn't be a drag. It has not been a drag for me. It is really fun getting to go to some establishments and seeing where I can get creative with my order or how they're already getting creative to cater to folks that have chosen to go alcohol free. So that's number eight, prefer establishments with non-alcoholic options. Number nine, have a go-to non-alcoholic drink. Okay. So look, if the restaurant or the bar you're visiting has great non-alcoholic options, great. In the event they do not, however, I have found having an easy to make, like widely available, easily accessible ingredients, having that ready to go non-alcoholic drink order in the back of my mind is super handy. Okay. For me, it's a lime tonic, right? Just tonic water, lime. I've been making these at home, even with like a muddled blackberry, thanks to my wife who gave me that tip. And we just enjoy it, like super refreshing, bubbly experience. And it's a lime tonic. We went to a Mexican restaurant with our church community group. Very shortly after, in fact, it was our first, after our winter break, it was like our first get together with our community group. And we went to a Mexican restaurant. They didn't have any non-alcoholic beer and they don't make good cocktails, to be honest, let alone non-alcoholic cocktails. So I wasn't even going to go there. And everyone got drinks, which is totally cool. And I got a lime tonic. And they even brought it out in a cocktail glass. And so it even satisfied like the very tactile experience of having a cocktail for me. And so all that's to say, find a non-alcoholic, again, something that you could get virtually anywhere. Don't make it super obscure, right? But something you can get kind of anywhere you go that will, again, that will serve that routine and that social function, but it still be in accordance with your goals. All right. So that's number 9, have a go-to non-alcoholic drink. Number 10, if you can, bring non-alcoholic options, right? If you're at a social gathering, like I did with the deck party, we were christening a neighbor's new deck, beautiful new deck. The sun was shining, brought all the kids over. They were grilling food and making food, and all the dads brought, you know, a six pack with them. And I brought mine, but mine was non-alcoholic. Right. And so if you're headed to a social event, if you're able, bring non-alcoholic options with you. If you're hosting, like I plan to still make whiskey cocktails when we have gatherings, but I also plan to have non-alcoholic options, not just for myself, but maybe other people want to explore it as well. Again, it doesn't bother me to be around alcohol, so I'm confident in that. That's not a stumbling block for me. But having and bringing those non-alcoholic options can be really, really powerful. And so, and by the way, so like I said, I mean, I brought a six pack. Just think about this, kind of fun. I brought a six pack to that deck party, right? And I pounded that entire six pack, of non-alcoholic beer, and I drank a six pack. And guess what? It was only 270 calories total. Okay. And so so kind of going back to the, you know, the calorie, effect of alcohol. It's real. And so it was just really great to be able to, cause I do appreciate the taste of beer. And so to have a six pack that I could drink over the course of 3 or 4 hours and it only be 270 calories and I didn't have to worry about a headache. All right. So anyways, bring non-alcoholic options to social gatherings. That's my 10th tip. Number 11, I'm gonna press in a little bit. Number 11 is grow thicker skin, right? Like, you got to be prepared for the haters and the naysayers. All right. They're going to come out. They're going to poke fun, especially early on when you maybe first announce it or they catch you with a non-alcoholic beer, ordering a lime tonic or something like that. Oh, well, absorb it with grace, right? Be willing to laugh it off and be self-deprecating if necessary and just carry on. You know, don't subject yourself to abusive language or intimidation or anything like that. Remove yourself from any sort of toxic environment for sure. But being confident in your decision to go alcohol free or to maintain a minimal intake lifestyle, it's going to be a part of this process. All right. And people will get over it. All right. Learn to respond with some genuine, you know, to genuine questions, as well as snarky criticisms, right? So some people are just going to be genuinely curious. Oh, why are you doing it? Like, oh, I guess that's like a thing now. Why? What's been your experience? Yeah, be ready to give genuine questions. You're not out there to convert anyone, right? And you'll get snarky criticisms. And I think I told you, like, one of the things that I'm calling it is the little to no booze cruise, right? So I'm just saying, like, people are like, what's going on? It's like, oh, I'm on the little to no booze cruise, right? It's not like I'm just avoiding alcohol. It's that I'm on something. I'm doing something. I'm not just avoiding something. I'm doing something. I'm offensively pursuing my goals. So I jumped on the little to no booze cruise, right? And so look, all that said and done, think about this. Here's, you know, so my 11th tip is grow thicker skin. And let me just encourage you with this. There was a time when people who quit smoking were made fun of, right? They're like, hey, you want a cigarette? Like, no, I've gone smoke free. People are like, really? Come on. Like, it was not that long ago in American history that smoking was normative. Okay. I would be so bold as to say we are probably not too far off from a time in American culture. It could be 30, 40, 50 years, perhaps in my lifetime, that we are going to see the same sort of, oh my gosh, I can't believe people used to smoke that much. We may see that about alcohol in my lifetime. Okay. And I'm 42. All that's to say, there was a time when people quit smoking and were mocked and made fun of, and their masculinity was questioned and their femininity was questioned and blah, 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 blah. You will not be on the wrong side of history on this one. Okay. You can mark my words. So that's number 11, grow thicker skin. Cause I love you. Number 12, don't become judgmental of those who drink. Okay. So in the process of growing thicker skin, make sure that you're not hardening your heart. Okay. That's one temptation that can arise from going alcohol free, is sitting in judgment of those around you who continue to drink. Don't do it. Look, I told you I didn't drink till I was 23. And I very much was guilty of judging people who did until the day I had my first drink. I absolutely was judgmental, legalistic, pharisaical, if you will, about drinking. And that is a temptation for me now that I have gone back to alcohol-free or very severely limiting my intake moving forward. And so remember that health is a process. Everyone is at a different point in that process. Everyone struggles with different areas of their health. So yes, be willing to speak about your experience about going, you know, alcohol-free as a way to encourage others. But I implore you to resist the urge to begin looking down on people who have not yet perhaps made the same choice. All right. So that's number 12. Don't become judgmental of those who drink. Number 13, I want to kind of swing us up toward the end. Become enamored with how you feel. I'm telling you, if there was one thing in nutrition that I wish was not true, apart from, you know, that people in mass eat a certain way. Yeah. But deep down, like selfishly, personally, day to day for me, if there was one thing I wish that was not true, it's that alcohol is a toxin. Okay. It's a toxin. And when you abstain or severely minimize your intake of a toxin, you will feel better. Okay. You can take that check to the bank. We will feel better when you restrict consuming on purpose a toxin. All right. So being mindful and enamored with how much better you feel, in my experience, has helped solidify the process day in and day out. And so, yes, you may miss it at times. There may be, you know, those glimpses of, man, I could go for a drink right now, or that's the sort of environment that I'd really love, you know, and again, perhaps that's one of the times that if you're moving forward with a minimalist mindset, yeah, that might be the one night you have a drink that month, right? But being more enamored with how you feel without alcohol, I think is key to understanding kind of sort of that day-to-day process or living in that day-to-day process of not having it. So over time, I think you'll have a greater appreciation for how you feel without alcohol than you ever did with it. So that's number 13, become enamored with how you feel overall. And of course, this is one vestige of health. There are many, 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 many more. We're a nutrition business. And so proper nutrition, proper exercise, proper sleep, proper lot of things, right, contribute to how great you feel. But at brass tacks, nuts and bolts, alcohol is a toxin. And when you remove it, you will feel better. Okay. So leaning into that in those moments is going to help solidify the process day to day. And last, but certainly not least, number 14, if need be, please hear me. If need be, seek professional help. Okay. I want to be clear on this. The intent of this podcast episode is not to replace or mitigate the possible need for professional help. Okay. And so if you struggle with what professionals call alcohol use disorder, okay, whether that's alcohol abuse, alcohol dependence, alcohol addiction, alcoholism, which is all sort of a massive Venn diagram of what is entailed in alcohol use disorder, please know, please hear me on this. Brother to brother, man to man, man to sister, brother to sister, Christian to non-Christian, health professional to you as a professional, please know that it is courageous and noble to seek professional help, okay? It is courageous and noble to seek professional help if need be. This podcast is not meant to replace the possible need for seeking professional help if you do struggle with alcohol use and abuse. All right. So if you need more information on that or just a next step to take, I highly recommend Googling the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. They have great resources. They have ways for you to reach out to get digital resources, in-person resources, local resources. Please don't take me and these tips as minimizing the possible need for that professional help. And so with that, those are my 14 tips. It's been a fun one. I hope you guys have been enjoying. We're in the middle of a series called Getting Creative with Food. And so this was just a little bit of a break. After those episodes, we are going to be back with those next week. And so I hope you're enjoying those as well. But I also hope I encourage some of you that are on the alcohol-free or the little to no booze cruise to encourage you in that process. And so if this episode has been helpful or insightful, if you could subscribe so that you get those updates as to when we're launching new episodes. And if you could leave a review, that would be great. Let me know. Let us know how we're doing. And if you've got a friend that you like to talk about this stuff with, or they're sober curious, as they call it, and have been thinking about jumping on the Little to No Booze cruise with you, do us a favor and send them this episode. It's one of the ways that we get to reach more people, hopefully, than we ever may know, with free content and free resources for you all. And so with that, if you're on social media, you can follow us as you're unfollowing, you know, those alcohol brands and following new non-alcoholic brands. You could also follow us on social media. We are across the major social media platforms at Imago Nutrition, I-M-A-G-O Nutrition. Again, at Imago Nutrition across social media platforms. And as always, we would like to thank the band Happy Pill for gifting us our theme song, Thinking About Food, because on the Imago Nutrition podcast, we're always thinking about food. We'll see you next time.